Good afternoon. This is Cindy Sweat in the studio with Grant Echohawk, who is running for House District 1. Welcome to Wrangell, Grant. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Why don't you start off by telling us about yourself, tell us where you grew up, and something about your background.
Sure. So I was actually born in Fairbanks, but raised in Metlakatla, Alaska, and grew up in Southeast, either in Metlakatla or Ketchikan. And as a teen, moved down south, went to college, started a career, and did that for a while. Then I moved back here to Southeast Alaska in 2018. So I moved back to Metlakatla to just reconnect with my family, and then found work in Ketchikan. So I moved over to Ketchikan. I've been living there ever since in beautiful, beautiful downtown Ketchikan. So a little something about me is I did, while living in Metlakatla, I started gill netting at a young age. So I grew up on the water, and have all throughout my travels have very fond memories of all of the summers I spent out in the Alaskan waters.
Why are you running to represent House District 1?
Well, for several reasons. First, I did run for and was elected as borough assembly member in Ketchikan, and that was my first stint into public service, and I found I really enjoyed it. At the end of my first term, I kind of came to the conclusion I should have been doing this all along. I enjoy being able to have the conversations with communities, members, solving problems, offering solutions to pressing needs, and working for the community. So I really enjoyed it. Another reason is why I'm running for State House specifically is because House District 1 does incorporate communities that I care deeply about. You know, I was raised in Metlakatla. My family, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews are all in Metlakatla. I live in Ketchikan. I have a lot, deeply rooted in that community. And over the last couple of years, I've gotten to know Wrangell really well. I've been back just to visit. So there are other communities in the district, and I know some better than others, but I care about the community that House District 1 represents. I care about the people in the community, and I want to make sure that those voices are heard at the state level. And then also the last reason is because, my own perspective on ways to address some of the challenges and some of the things we want to have accomplished that I don't always see represented in the state legislature. And I'd like to be able to present my thoughts, my solutions, my ideas, and add it to the conversation to try to move some of these things forward.
Do you want to mention what any of those things are?
Well, I think some of the more pressing things that that I'm most concerned about is the state what I regard as not meeting its financial and fiscal obligations to our communities. There are a lot of infrastructure needs that we have, school funding needs that we have, and I'm personally deeply concerned of what I perceive as catering far too much to out-of-state corporations and their needs, and what I regard as bending over backwards for these entities, where I think that they're just fine. You can see that all of their profits and all the revenue are public record. You can see how much they put into stock buybacks. They're doing just fine. So I think we need to prioritize keeping Alaskan wealth in Alaska so we can meet the needs of our constituents, we can meet the needs of our communities, we can ensure that our schools are properly funded, and start preparing our state into the future of economic development through other potential industries above and beyond resource extraction and things like that, because all of our resources are finite. So I think we need to start planning generations in the future and see how we're going to make sure that our grandchildren prosper from decisions that we make today.
You mentioned education. Mm-hmm. How can the state assure adequate funding for K-12 schools?
Well, this one I'm pretty passionate about. Where I live in Ketchikan, the lack of what I regard as appropriate funding by the state has, on more than one occasion, thrown the community in chaos, as we've had to, let educators go and administrators go, then all of a sudden afterwards get funding updates and then have to go back and hire them back or try to hire them back. We've had people leave the community as a result, very contentious. So I hate seeing any of our communities thrown into that type of turmoil. I hate seeing our children being put through the uncertainty. I think that that prioritizing this is very important. So to ensure that this happens, I think it's a two-part solution. One, it is my opinion that some of the contention around school funding has been a little bit more ideologically driven. That is driving some of the lack of funding. I think that we've sometimes are letting our ideological goals interrupt what we should be doing. What we should be doing is getting the funding to our students, getting the funding to our schools, getting the funding to our community, and letting the local school boards who are elected by the community make the best decisions for their community. So I think in some cases we've been losing sight of that. So that's something I'm going to advocate for, just get the funding into the communities, let the school boards and the communities decide what's best for their students. The second piece is it goes back to we do need to generate revenue, and so that means that we have to have all revenue generating options on the table. The one that I'm going to be most passionate about again is closing tax loopholes, closing subsidies, closing tax rebates, anything where these out-of-state corporations are receiving benefit, to take a hard look at that and seeing what we can do to shift the prosperity over to our communities. But we also need to be creative in looking at all other forms of potential revenue, because not only do we have schools, but we have infrastructure needs, we have workforce development needs, we have we need to support our local businesses. There's lots of needs that we have. I will say that the only revenue generating option that I would not support is a statewide sales tax. I think that, or it's not that I think, I know that a statewide or a sales tax, by its definition, disproportionately impacts our families, disproportionately impacts those already struggling. It's a regressive tax, and I wouldn't support that. But any other revenue generating option, I think we need to put it on the table, talk it through, make sure that the benefit of our Alaskan communities is put at the forefront of those conversations, and not allow out-of-state influence, out-of-state money impact or drive those conversations. It needs to be from a community and state legislator-driven conversation.
Well, let's talk about cost of living. Mm-hmm. Inflation is creeping up and eroding everyone's purchasing power. Is there anything state legislators can do to either help stop the increasing cost of everything or to ease the burden for residents?
Well, I think there are two things that I would at least like to attempt. And one of them is the reality is all of our rural states are reliant on federal dollars. And so I think that there needs to be a strong partnership with our federal legislators to ensure that we get federal dollars into our state. This is when you look across the board, the rural states are collecting more federal dollars than the states that have the highest population, because that's generally where you're going to see industry, and that's generally where you're going to see the greatest ability to receive the taxes. So I think ensuring partnering with our state legislators for something that I would like to pursue would be something along the lines of a rural shipping or transportation subsidy, something that would allow us to get our goods up into the state at a less expensive price, that should trickle out throughout all of our communities. We have to spend less to get our goods up here, then there should be less that we spend in the grocery stores or everywhere else that we purchase it. The other piece is being very honest about this conversation. Like I said, we want to say that we are, there's certainly we want to be independent as a state, but the fact is that I think last I saw about 500,000 people and such a broad geographical area that there isn't a central industry. There isn't there just aren't the people to generate the revenue that we have in places like California or places like New York. And I think we need to be honest about that. And And while I think a lot of politicians will celebrate every time we get any kind of revenue from the federal government, at the same time, on the other side of their mouths, they'll talk about how awful it is when anybody gets assistance from the federal government. And I just think that's very disingenuous. I think that's very insincere. And I think we need to have a grown-up and honest conversation about how can we get those dollars? How can we partner with our state legislature? How can we make sure that those dollars make it into our communities and we get our not only the programs, the services, and the infrastructure in a productive, efficient way? And I think that having these conversations, these contradiction conversations, create inefficiency and they create unnecessary turmoil and conflict. And I believe it's more of a culture war than good governance. And I think we need to focus on how can we all partner together to get maximum revenue into our communities and maximize the prosperity from those dollars.
Well, you mentioned in there a little bit about transportation of goods. And that made me, you know, want to come to the Alaska Marine Highway. Mm-hmm. It's not just transportation for all of us, but it also, it's an economic driver. It's also how we, you know, we don't have car dealerships right here in Wrangell. So we get on the ferry and go to Ketchikan or Juneau. So should the state appropriate funds to rebuild and maintain the Alaska Marine Highway system?
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. As a matter of fact, if you go to my campaign website, I use those words almost verbatim, that the Alaska Marine Highway Service is a economic driver. It isn't just transportation. And for those of us that grew up here in Southeast Alaska, we remember when the ferry service was an extension of our community. It just was not just transportation. I distinctly remember how much fun it was as growing up here to just be able to ride on the ferry. And I think that that keeping that community going and keeping those goods in particular and commerce moving between our communities, it stabilizes our local economy. It strengthens our local economy. And one thing that I've, you know, in the different conversations I've had throughout the state is with different legislators and candidates is explaining what we're talking about, explaining it to folks in the North Slope or Interior Alaska. Different legislators, they know that we have this ferry service, but connecting the dots and helping them understand that when we have a region of like Southeast Alaska, when we are more financially stable, when our economy is running as effectively and efficiently as possible, it helps the entire state. And I've had more than one conversation where I've been able to connect those dots with legislators. And I think that that's something that hasn't been effectively done, you know, and it's not by any part, you know, I don't know anything about what's happening about the needs of North Slope. I simply don't. But I think we can have this dialogue with legislators where I could say, well, you tell me what is good for your people, I'll tell you what's good for my district, and let's find a way to get everybody what they need. And so far in the conversations I've had, it's been very productive. I've heard them say, oh, okay, I better understand this issue now. And I think that that's one thing that we need to do and continue to do to make sure that all of Alaska knows that by that things like economic development, there's no downside of it, that it only benefits everyone else in the state. When there's one region that's doing well, then that means that one region has generally is going to have more tax into its municipal coffers. That means that the municipalities can do more. That means that is less of that is less reliant on other sources of income, which makes that those revenues available for other places. So it benefits everybody. And so I'm a big supporter of the Alaska Marine Ferry Service. I would agree, or it is my opinion that has been left to languish. I'm very disappointed that has been allowed to happen by folks that as well campaigned on prioritizing it and then getting into office and not doing so. I find very upsetting, and I want to be able to bring it back. The money is out there. We just need to find it. We need to support our communities and support commerce, support economic development, and make sure that communities in the future can rely on this important piece of infrastructure.
I'm glad you mentioned speaking with other legislators. That was a question I was going to ask you, but you've already answered it, that, you know, convincing those legislators who live on the road system and really have no idea what the Marine Highway is about, maybe think of it as, you know, a cruise ship or, you know, something that it's not.
And I think a lot of people, maybe a lot of people know this or maybe some don't, but Southeast Alaska just doesn't have the votes to really move forward a lot of the issues important to us that are specific to our region. So being able to collaborate, being able to have these conversations with other legislators to support all of Alaska and to find a path forward is so important. And one thing I've learned in being in the political space and speaking with folks, it is remarkable how everybody wants the same thing, regardless of where they are on the political spectrum. I've yet to have a conversation with anybody in our communities that wasn't focused on the things that we're talking about. We all know what we need, and it's just a matter of convincing other legislators that by supporting Southeast Alaska, supporting our prosperity, we can in turn help the rest of Alaska. And as a legislator, I can do what I can to support other regions and help the prosperity of their communities.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you spend a little bit of time fishing, so I'm sure you have some thoughts on what the state role is in sustainable fisheries.
So first and foremost, I'm deeply concerned about our salmon stock. Several species, again, I'm going to go back to my website because I put it specifically on my campaign website. The Beacon just put out a report 2 weeks ago about the, if I remember correctly, the chum. It had a critical population. Their population was devastated, and it is and it was specific. They found it specifically due to ocean temperatures. So there's a lot of strain being put on our different species from fisheries mismanagement, destruction of habitat, from climate change, industry, irresponsible industry standards. Like for example, I'm all for either banning or highly regulating bycatch trawling. It is a very destructive industry that we need to address. So when it comes to solutions, there are two parts. And as a matter of fact, there's someone here in Wrangell that has created their own incubator that I was speaking with last time I was in town, where over 90% of the 90% of what went from eggs have made it to fry, which out in the wild, that's about 30%. And in speaking with him, you know, and it's just tremendous. I was able to see it, all these little fry swimming around. It was just fantastic. And we've had a lot of conversations over the years. And one of the things that's really important to him and one thing that I believe in is ensuring that we have conversations that include the people who have lived with this in the land and lived with the salmon for the last tens of thousands of years, because there is knowledge, there is scientific knowledge to be gained. Then pairing that with good data, good sound management practices, and making sure that we're making decisions on behalf of our fisheries that is based on actual, verifiable, well-vetted data. That includes having a grown-up conversation about climate change, about a grown-up conversation about destruction of habitat, about making sure that industry is operating responsibly, and there is a path forward where industry can be highly successful regardless of what it is that isn't destructive, or at least has greatly mitigated any amount of destruction. And I think that all of these things combined is going to help our salmon population grow, flourish, and start seeing our populations rebound. But it is going to take concerted effort on our part, and we're going to have conversations that, again, are not based on ideology, not what we want to talk about, but what does the data tell us, and base our decisions on the data and go from there. So it's a multifaceted approach that includes knowledge that has been carried down for tens of thousands of years, and looking at what does that tell us, and then the data that we can take from all of the scientific knowledge that we have all around the world and applying it in a well thought out process that, again, I'm going to go back to, that that is generations into the future, and start thinking about what can we do today to ensure that generations in the future, our communities have this resource and their livelihoods are protected, and the Southeast Alaska way of life is also flourishes.
Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you would like people in our district to know about you before they go to the polls?
Well, I think most important is that you know, in general, anytime, especially when we have a midterm election, and at least in the communities that I mostly work with or that I live in and spend the most time in, which is Metlakatla and Ketchikan, that in general we always see a lower voter turnout in the midterm elections. And I'm a huge supporter of democracy. I call democracy a full contact sport. It works best when we're all engaged. You get the best results when we're all engaged. And so it's really important that you nudge the person next to you. If you know you're going to vote, nudge the person next to you. And then also when you are deciding when you go to the polls, make sure you look at what are the things most important to you, and then how would you like to see that vision, what's important to you, applied to the state legislature. So I encourage everybody to get out and vote, everybody to nudge the person next to them to vote. And then just a little bit more about me as someone who now has traveled all around Southeast Alaska. And I already said this before, and I'll just kind of say it again. It is astounding that no matter who I talk to, that we all want the same things, all of us. And so I think it's also really important that a lot of the things that are that may be wedge issues or creating conflict within our communities, just remember that a lot of those things aren't coming from our communities. They're not happening organically. They're often coming from media outlets and different sources out of our community coming in. And just one thing that's just important, we keep that in mind, that we are always going to accomplish more when we focus on the things that we want to accomplish and figure out where we have common ground so we can move things forward. I can also plug my website.
Yeah, please.
Okay, great. And so if you'd like to learn more about me, you can go to www.echohawk4ak.com. That's ECHOHAWK, the number 4ak.com. Or you can see me find me on Facebook at Echohawk for Alaska. And you're always welcome to reach out. I have a firm belief that anybody in public service should be able to answer any direct question with a direct response. So ask me anything you want. I'm always happy to engage, and I'd love to hear your perspective. Even if you disagree with me, sometimes I might be working with outdated information or I need new information, and I'm happy to hear it if you have new information to provide, and make sure I'm working with the best possible data.
Thank you so much for coming to Wrangell.
I appreciate it.
And thank you for coming to KSDK.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.